Hey, Geekscapists, welcome back to Geekscape. This is a little mini episode in the middle of your week. If you want the full Geekscape episode for the week, well, this is included. But we sat down with Lou Ferrigno Jr. about his other movie that's coming out yesterday, and that's up on the feed now. But we've got a little special treat for y'all who are joining. I see a couple of y'all jumping in on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Our good friend Thomas Nicholas is here. And he's actually been on the Geekscape Network before. He doesn't know this, but when he was at Wizard World Philadelphia, our own Matt Kelly, who runs the Geekscape Network's podcasting, the whole podcasting network, he actually talked to Thomas when he was there doing his band. So Thomas doesn't know he's been on the Geekscape Network before. He's never been on this show, but he's on this show now. Y'all may know Thomas from, you know, movies like Rookie of the Year. He was in the American Pie films. But now he's actually on Geekscape proper. Thomas, how you doing, dude?
Hey, I just heard your lovely intro. I'm glad to be back on the Geekscape. Wow, I can't talk. Geekscape Network. And you're right, I did not know that this was my return to Geekscapedom. I can't talk, apparently.
You know what? Don't worry about that, because Stanley, we had a nice relationship with Stanley for a long time. And the first time we met him, we asked for we just asked for him to say, "Hey, can you say you're watching Geekscape?" And he kept saying Dickscape. So from that moment on, it's been fine to call it Dickscape, but yeah, and you can really call Geekscape whatever you want.
After that, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, he really set the standard for messing up the name, and I'm down. I mean, you know, if you're gonna follow anybody in that kind of thing, it's got to be Stan the Man, right? So
yeah, that's amazing. I remember meeting him at a Comic-Con event in Rhode Island, uh-huh. And I was there, and Shannon Elizabeth, as well as, sorry about that.
No, it's good. Pick it up. Let's talk to them.
No, it's all, I don't even know. It's probably like a sales call. That's all I get at home. I'm the only person left in Los Angeles with a landline, and all I get is like sales calls.
Are you for real? That was a landline we just heard?
Yeah, it's a landline. These are land. I mean, that's, yeah. You could have a phone like through like DSL or whatever. I got two of them. Hello?
The podcast listeners are only hearing this on audio and be like, "What is happening?"
I was holding up two wireless portable phones that are, in fact, connected to a landline.
Why?
Because my cell phone reception in my house is like the black hole.
Sure.
And I needed it, but I call it like the commissioner phone. So if you really need to hear me, you'll call me on the bat phone.
Sure.
You know, it's just not red. I'm sorry. It's
no,
just...
you know what? I know that you have a Shakespeare statue that you like tilt the head back and it like, gets you to the back cave and all that stuff. I know that stuff about your house. You can have the landline.
That's all right. I was supposed to be Robin, you know, with what's his name is Batman. But
wait, is this a legit Patterson.
No.
Yeah, you and
Robert Pattinson. I was gonna be Nightwing, man.
Yeah, but dude, like late 90s, like think about it. You know, you come out of like Rookie of the Year, and I'm guessing that you were part of like a child actor. And then out of the Rookie of the Year, like that's got to be something everybody talked about as you were getting into like becoming a teenager in your college years. That people are like, "Oh man, they're going to make these new Star Wars movies. Maybe I can get Anakin. Oh dude, they're making these Batman movies. Maybe there's going to be a Robin." Like, is that something that like child actors that were kind of, because you're pretty much like coming up the same age as I am, like that is the kind of stuff that y'all talked about as like child actors, like these opportunities are out there to be part of these big genre movie, like franchises.
I mean, okay, so first of all, I was a Star Wars fan before it was cool to be a Star Wars fan.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, so before it was mass media, I was the geek who loved Star Wars.
Right, and it was the Zahn novels that got you back into it, right? Like
oh, for sure.
You're reading all those Zahn novels, and you're like, "Wait, there's new Star Wars stuff?"
I remember it was the holiday time, and my mom and I bought the Timothy Zahn series, the hardback versions, you know, Heir to the Empire. And we were trading back and forth, like reading it. And I remember I would be like staying at my grandparents' place and like stay up way too late. I was like 14 or 15. And I'd be like just one more chapter. And every chapter, he would always end it with like a little cliffhanger. And you'd be like, dang it, I got to read one more chapter.
And now you see that stuff starting to come in when you would, I mean, you definitely popped during The Mandalorian when like they mentioned Thrawn and you were like, holy shit, are y'all really doing this? Y'all are bringing Thrawn in? Because I thought that was just like, y'all were, it was like, cool, we can mention in the cartoons and have him in the cartoons. But now maybe he's going to be part of the live action Star Wars universe.
Well, there was kind of an air to that with, you know, Kylo Ren, because because it was so like his name started with a K when his originally it was Kip, wasn't it? Their son in.
Yeah.
In the Dark Force Rising.
In the stuff that was all like retconned out. Right.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm part of deleted canon as well. I'm in Halloween Resurrection. I now have not died or lived. So
my buddy Seth from high school back in Austin is telling me, he's like, oh, I remember when you were reading all those. Yes. Yeah, so I remember when Seth had to defend me in middle school because I was getting my head punched in for reading Star Wars comics. I mean, all that's, I think that you fit into Geekscape pretty well. We should have you on one of the longer episodes so we can just geek out, because we have a ton of, I think we have a ton to talk about.
Yeah, like talking about like when I was 16 and I got a Millennium Falcon from my friends. Yeah, we can
talk about that. Everybody's talking about getting an actual car, and you're like, no.
I had a car too, but I also needed the Millennium Falcon.
Well, yeah, I'm saying that the Millennium Falcon sounds like the priority, right? And your friends are like, no, dude, girls.
So what happened to me?
And you're like, no, Millennium Falcon is the priority.
I got, so my roommate at the time had worked for Spielberg for about 5 years and also Dick Donner for 10 years, but he was on the set of episode 5. So he has pictures of like, you know, Darth Vader, like choke holding him. He's on Hoth, you know, like the whole nine. So he gave me the blue hardcover front cover page of the original Star Wars script.
For Empire.
Episode 4.
Yeah, episode 4.
Yeah, he got a copy of that as well, because he worked for Spielberg and, you know, Spielberg and Lucas, you know, bosom buddies. So, you know, so I remember I got tickets to the re-release of Star Wars episode 4 that George Lucas was going to be at. And then I got a job. So I was like, okay, I told my friends, I said, listen, I'm going to give you these tickets, but you have to take this blue hardcover of Star Wars and you have to get George Lucas to sign it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you cannot have these tickets.
Right.
Because I have to go work. And they did. It's hanging in my house. That's, I have that.
That's awesome.
I have that blue hardcover from like the original. It's like one of those, you know, it's not a Brad script. It's like one of those like bound, wire bound ones. So he that's like awesome. Took it out for me. Mark Marshall. God love him.
Dude, that is sick. Yeah, I feel like we could talk about all this nerd stuff, but let's talk about the movie you've got coming out on the 9th. Geekscapist, Thomas, you know, this is pretty interesting, but you play like, this is not your normal type of movie, because we have seen you in the comedies. We've seen you in kind of the, like, I mean, this is a straight up crime movie, right? So Thomas is in this movie called Adverse, and he's in there with like Mickey Rourke, another former Geekscape guest, Sean Astin. You're also in this with, I had to look this up. I was like, whoa, is that Matt Ryan? It is Matt Ryan, who all know. He played Constantine, and he's like our favorite Constantine on the CW shows. Like,
hey, he's still playing Constantine.
Yeah, he's on Legends of Tomorrow, right? So
yeah,
you got to hang with some of the people who have some geek cred. But why, like, I want to know, like, this is like a straight up like crime noir. Like, what's up with you taking that role? Not that you don't want to stretch your muscles, but seeing you in this role, I was like, okay, let's go. Let's see what he's got.
Right on. Yeah. In fact, in speaking of Matt Ryan, really quick before I answer your question of why I decided to do this movie, my son, Nolan River, actually plays Matt Ryan's son in Adverse. So yeah, kind of, and I just actually talked to Matt. We're doing a private screening event for the Asian World Film Fest this Sunday, and a cast Q&A. And so Matt's going to come and join us, even though he's filming in Vancouver, since everything is virtual, just like our interview.
Yeah, that's cool.
And so, you know, there are benefits to virtual world as well. But yeah, in regard to taking Adverse, my forte actually is in drama. So even though I am known for comedy and now known on Geekscape as a geek, drama was where my roots were. And back in like the mid 80s, when I first started like learning my and developing my techniques as an actor, my acting coach and mentor was like, listen, you can only be as strong as your weakest link. And if we right now, comedy is your weakest link. Mm. If we improve that, you'll actually become a better dramatic actor. So we started working on that, you know, that weak point and my comedic skills. I remember, and this is like the turning point of comedy versus drama. I screen tested for The Good Son opposite Elijah Wood. I had already worked with Elijah on Radio Flyer. So I was kind of heading in that dramatic sort of angle. And then three of us had a pin put in us after the screen test. And then Macaulay Culkin comes out of nowhere and takes the role. And so a little while later, I book Rookie of the Year. And if I had been doing Good Son, I wouldn't have gotten Rookie of the Year. And then, you know, go from there to Kidding King Arthur's Court and American Pie and that whole franchise. So this is my return to form.
Yeah.
And I've been wanting to make this maneuver. There's maybe not that many people that know what my plans were, but I've been touting for a while that I've been pretending to be a left-handed boxer. And I'm not just referring to Mickey Rourke as a boxer, but I've been pretending to be a left-handed boxer as a comedian for a long time. And now I'm switching my stance up and saying I'm actually right-handed. So check it out.
I mean, boxers are, you know, so you're swapping those feet up really fast. The one thing about that I've said a lot on the show is casting a comedic actor for a dramatic role. I think that that's the way to go. And knowing that you did have that strength in comedy that you developed, that you said you developed early on, and that it helped your drama. But is it that you start to learn how to perform without a net? You know, we see a lot of the brave dramatic performances that come out of a Jim Carrey or a Robin Williams or a Will Ferrell, you know, when he was doing that stuff. Is it that kind of fear testing that you're doing that allows you to push a little bit deeper dramatically when you're performing in comedy and knowing, hey, I may not be getting the laughs, but I'm going to go for it?
Yeah. I mean, I think it really is just, you know, really at the end of the day, you're an instrument. And so it's learning how to be versatile with your instrument. And that's in having a general sense of, you know, your tone and dynamics of range and really being able to organically contort yourself to fit in that scene and understanding the story. And comedy is by and large more challenging in general, especially I agree with that wholeheartedly. But you know, Adverse is it is a character driven piece. You know, even though the Lionsgate, you know, has put this trailer together that's very action packed. I mean, that's just a trailer. That's just a sell. The film is more like Taxi Driver, you know, where, and you've got this sequence at the end of Taxi Driver. So the film is brooding and suspenseful and a lot of tension. And that's what our film is. And at the heart of it, you've got this relationship between my character and his sister. And that's really the focal point of my character, despite all of his mental illness, that he's looking out for his family. And then you got this sequence near the end of the film that's similar to Taxi Driver, but we do ours as per Brian A. Metcalf's vision as an homage to Old Boy, which we didn't talk about it, but then Joe Leedon in Variety totally nailed it, and he called Brian out on it, on it being like an Old Boy homage. And that was the scene that Brian showed me, that he showed the cinematographer,
the hammer scene, the hallway sequence.
Yeah, the hallway scene with the one camera shot that we,
which only came about because they had lost a lot of their time on that location, is what I've learned. Is that I learned that Old Boy sequence only happened, they had an entire choreographed action sequence ready to go, and they did not have time suddenly to shoot it. So somebody said, oh, you know what, let's do it, and let's do a hallway setup, and then let's do the wide master, and let's just do a oneer all the way down with the and it totally works in a way that the choreographed action sequences, all the cuts, wouldn't have worked because it lets all the air in, right? When you start cutting, it wakes you up. And the whole point of that sequence was there's no escape from this, right?
Yeah.
And it's pretty incredible. I'm excited to see that end sequence, because I also know the one that you are referring to at the end of Taxi Driver. And you know, there's a level of nihilism to it. And I want to see you go there, man. I'm kind of excited about this one now. I didn't get a chance to see it before we recorded, but just watching the trailer, and we got people in the chat saying, hey, Adverse looks like it was cast from my childhood. Retro cool. And I think it's cool to see something like that. And there's an element, if you Geekscapists aren't getting our references, but you've seen something like Drive, the more recent movie, like that kind of feels like it's in there too. You know, a character whose choices are slowly evaporating. Maybe the audience is saying, hey, don't do this. You've got options. But the character, like you said, mental illness is starting to become obsessive and focus on just one way to solve all the problems. I'm excited about it, dude.
Yeah, he's sort of, not to give any spoilers, but you know, at a certain point, he doesn't have anything left to lose and isn't afraid to lose himself. Mm-hmm. So when you don't have anything to lose, it sort of changes how you approach things. And you know, you called it a drama noir. And because Joe Leedon said it was so meta, I'm coining the phrase now for Brian A. Metcalf that he's 90s noir.
Okay. I got somebody in the chat saying you could do voice acting in video games. We have not even scratched the surface of talking about video games. But, Geekscapist, I only had Thomas for a limited amount of time. He's on a whole whirlwind circuit here. So this is a little bit of a Geekscape mini. He's got to keep doing the promotion for Adverse. But if y'all want to reach out to him, say you saw him or heard him on Geekscape, he's on Twitter at TinBand, because we haven't even talked about your band, dude.
I know. It's March 9th is a big day. We have Adverse hit streaming. We're now out of theaters and coming on the streaming platforms on March 9th. And I have my sixth single dropping called Luminary on March 9th as well. I swear I didn't plan that. I didn't want to like try to own March 9th, but apparently now, at least in my mind, I own it. I'll take it.
All right. This is what we're going to do, because we got to keep you moving on the press tour. We're going to let you go, but Geekscapist, y'all are going to find him on Twitter. You're going to reach out. You're going to reach out to Thomas at TinBand, and you're going to say, hey, loved you on Geekscape, the return to Geekscape, and you got to come back on Geekscape to talk video games, more of that Star Wars stuff, and all the other nerdiness, because I know you do covers in your band, and like you did the whole Wizard World tour and stuff like that. Thomas, we got to have you back on Geekscape.
Yeah, we will definitely talk Legend of Zelda, Super Mario, Star Wars.
Oh my God, you're singing my tune. I'm reaching off camera right now, Geekscape is listening, and I'm grabbing your a little Wind Waker link to hold up right here on camera. I always have my plush link within arms. You know what? I'm a 40-year-old man. I probably shouldn't be advertising that. But
it's all right. I'm right there with you.
Dude, thanks for coming on. We're going to let you go. Geekscapist, if you enjoyed this, again, reach out to Thomas. Tell him to come back on Geekscape. Loved having you, dude. Good luck with the music and good luck with the Adverse. I hope it does really well. I'm excited to see it.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm excited for everyone to see, you know, the character that Brian and I worked so hard on creating. Weeks and weeks of preparation to change the way I looked and sound and move, so that I could, you know, compete on screen with someone like Mickey Rourke and Lou Diamond Phillips.
Yeah, when you show up, you kind of need to step up. Like, all eyes are on you to not mess up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, damn. Cool, man. We want to hear more about it, right, dude? So expect to come on Geekscape.
Well, let's let you watch the film after it comes out on March 9th, and then I'll come back and we'll do Adverse and nerd out. How's that?
All right.
Or geek out, I should say.
Whatever you need, dude. That sounds great. All right. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening, Geekscapist. We'll be back, and expect Thomas to be back on Geekscape very soon. Geekscape forever, everybody.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.